Happy September 8th, everybody. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. It's a pleasure to be talking to you this morning. Got lovely guests for you today from Centerpoint Education Solutions, good friends of ours. We have their CEO, Laura Slover, and then Dr. Cheryl Harmon, who's their VP of Assessment, Curriculum, and Instruction. However, Laura, I'll bring you on in a minute. I will be happy to give you a doctorate from the University of Larry if you don't have one. So hang on there, and we'll get you on in just a second. We're going to talk about culturally responsive curriculum, okay, with two real experts in the field, Cheryl and Laura, again, from Centerpoint Education Solutions. It's going to be a nice show since they're both experts in the field of standards and assessments and aligned key academic systems. So it's going to be a nice show. We're going to archive this show like we always do over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org. That's the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education. And please go over there, ace-ed.org. Our magazine is an online journal. Thank you, everybody, for going over there and reading it so often and sending us notes saying how good it is and telling us how good it is, okay? It's over at ace-ed.org, the magazine's Equity and Access Pre-K-12. Again, many thanks for all that. We work hard to make it look as good as it does and read as well as it does, et cetera, et cetera. All of our podcasts are over there, plus a ton of other information about equity. And also, we have just started a new website. We're still working on it, but it's open to the public over at seltoday.org. See what we're doing. Check it all out. Everything we do is free for you, pre-K-12 educators of all stripes, et cetera, et cetera, from administrators of districts to the classroom teacher. Please get involved with us at ace-ed.org and seltoday.org. We're really trying to get the word out on all this stuff. All right, and let me just bring on my guests here, okay? First of all, Laura, are you there?
Yeah. Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you, indeed. It's Larry here, and congratulations on your new doctorate. I just gave you one.
Thank you, Larry. I appreciate that. Okay. That was the fastest degree I've ever gotten.
Yeah, well, Dr. Slover, what's it like to be a doctor now?
Fantastic.
There you go. See how it changes your life? The University of Larry comes through again. What can I tell you? Okay, and Cheryl, are you there?
I'm here.
And you are the real Dr. Harmon, okay? Hello, Dr. Harmon.
Hi, how are you? Great to speak to you again.
Pleasure to have you here. Where are you calling in from? Where are you?
This is Cheryl, and I'm from Atlanta.
Okay, that's all right. Even though the Falcons are there, I forgive you.
And yes, I am from Washington, D.C.
Home of the Washington Football Club. Good luck with all that, both of you. Okay, you're talking to Patriots guy here. So hate me, hate. We welcome your hate. Let me put it that way. Okay, and it's a pleasure, Laura. You're CEO, and I just want you to give everybody an overview, okay, of Centerpoint Education Solutions. All right, and you know, I know you guys do assessments and services. It's both assessment and curriculum. You're really experts in this literacy, but just go over, just give everybody the big picture from the CEO, the new doctor. Go ahead.
Thanks, Larry. Centerpoint is
Laura.
An organization that works with schools and school districts on the core academic pieces of schooling, which include high-quality curriculum, aligned and high-quality assessments, and then professional learning to pull that all together. So we really look at the instructional core as an aligned system of elements that together help ensure that teachers know what they're doing, students know what they're learning, and the system can work as effectively as possible.
And I'm going to jump on the word you just used, alignment. All right. And this is a key thing, and I want to just talk just for a second here about K-12 alignment. You know, too many people – I think look at alignment in the middle school, look at alignment in the high school. When you say alignment, what is the range of the alignment, and what do you actually, when you say that, what are we actually talking about? I'm just curious about this. Laura Slover.
Well, we think about alignment in a couple of ways. First of all, we think about components working together. Like think about when you're driving your car and your tire's out of alignment, you can feel how the car isn't driving as effectively as it could. You've got to work harder to pull it back. So in schooling, we think about alignment similarly. All of the pieces need to be lined up so that, for example, you're not testing something that you haven't taught during working for me. So it's a matter of fairness.
We teach you good here at the University of Larry,
so I'm very proud of you.
Thank you, Larry. We teach you good. Yeah.
Yeah. We think about alignment as from the standpoint of fairness, that you test only what has been taught. You think about alignment as a question of how teachers are going to tackle content. They're not going to take on content that's not part of their curriculum or aligned to the underlying standards. So you really think about all of those pieces working in tandem together. Now, that enables fairness. It also enables efficiency to make sure people are using their time wisely and getting the biggest bang for their buck, so to speak.
Yeah, and I think that was a good explanation, and I appreciate that. I really do. Okay, it's excellent. We're going to talk about culturally responsive in particular today, and I'm going to go to Cheryl for this one. Cheryl over at Centerpoint Education Solutions is the VP of Assessment, Curriculum, and Instruction. So basically she's the VP of everything there. Am I correct, Cheryl? Dr. Herman?
You're the VP of everything.
You're welcome. Okay, so the VP of everything over there, we're talking about culturally responsive curriculum. And this is a, to me, this is incredibly important, okay, because the nation, okay, is a very diverse nation right now. And we have to get kids engaged. And if I may, maybe I'm stealing a little bit of thunder here, but to me, if we don't engage kids by making curriculum relevant to them, and by the way, when I was teaching, we never did that. Okay, when I look back on it, it was as stupid as you can get, but we didn't know. Okay, it was a long time ago. Talk to me. When I say culturally responsive curriculum, Dr. Harmon, Cheryl, how do you answer that? What is culturally responsive curriculum?
You know, Larry, that's a great question, and you know, to your point that, you know, what we did in the past, you know, in our past experience, I know my past experiences as a student, I didn't necessarily experience a culturally responsive curriculum, but it did become part of my teaching career. And when we started curriculum work, when we launched into some of our curriculum work, working with Chicago Public Schools and the Equity Initiative, for CenterPoint, this was one of the first questions we asked. What is culturally responsive curriculum? And, you know, as educators, we dug into the research. We looked at Cultivating Genius by Dr. Goldie Muhammad and the Windows
Yay,
There.
Yay, Goldie,
Design
my buddy.
Research.
Yay,
yes.
Goldie. We love Goldie.
Yes, yes.
We're Goldie fans.
Yep, yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And she's here in Georgia,
Speaking
too,
of Atlanta,
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, so we looked into that research. We wanted that definition of what is culturally responsive curriculum. We all kind of had our working definitions, but wanted one kind of place to work from. And we reached a shared understanding that culturally responsive education is content instruction that is reflective of the students being taught. And as students are taught the core standards, they should see themselves reflected in the selected text, in the conversations, the discussions that are happening in the classroom. And they are encouraged to make their connections to their learning through their experiences. So their experiences are valued and encouraged and brought to the classroom. And I think that's what the culturally responsive curriculum does. It brings that, you know, encourages students to bring their experiences and supports them and wants that shared experience to be part of their learning. And, you know, as more people and districts are kind of working with this work, there's more research that's being contributed to this topic. So, you know, we're on an ongoing learning process for us here at CenterPoint. We never feel like we're done. We're always learning, as all educators kind of feel like learning is our life's work. And so for us, it really truly came from the research and wanting to do what's right by students so that they feel that they are respected and their experiences are part of their learning process.
Here on all that, as I said a second ago, you left something out, I'm going to say this again. You're Vice President of Curriculum, Instruction, and Assessment, okay?
Correct.
When you were just going over that, and I just want you to pop onto this. To me, cultural relevance, okay, is also mm-hmm. important in the assessment process.
Absolutely.
Okay, you talk on that, Cheryl. You go. You're the expert.
Sure, absolutely.
Go. Just
so,
run
so,
on that one.
Right. So absolutely. So, you know, as Laura was saying earlier, that part of that alignment piece is ensuring that, you know, what students are taught in the classroom is also reflected in terms of their assessment, and ensuring that assessment is free from cultural, you know, free from bias, has questions that, you know, a student is not expected to have a certain level of experiences that may be not part of their cultural experience asked in the question, so that the questions themselves is getting to the work, to what was actually taught in the classroom.
Yep.
So, you know, I think we talked about this a while ago, you know, just making sure that you're not asking questions of, say, kids who live in Florida, talking to them about, you know, mountain skiing. It's not to assume that they don't have that understanding, but just being very careful to ensure that the questions that are formed or developed that students are asked to answer are really reflective of what was taught in the classroom, so they don't have to bring prior experiences to the question, to the information, to be successful on the assessment.
Yeah, and it's hard to do. And Laura, I'm going to swing over to you. You're CEO, and you're responsible for making all this happen over at CenterPoint. When did, and I think it's probably, it was a long time ago, there's probably no specific point, but when did CenterPoint, as an example, realize that we have to be more aware of cultural responsiveness in the work we do? I mean, this is a evolutionary process, and you guys are working on it fine. I just put up a report. It's over when you're listening to this podcast. I just linked it over from all about what you did with equity in the Chicago schools. Laura, when did everybody see the light on all this and start really working on it, and how did it happen?
Well, Larry, most of us at CenterPoint have been former teachers, former administrators, former policymakers. So individually, I'd say it's come to our attention over the courses of our career that Cheryl talked about when she was a teacher, how she worked. And when I was a teacher, it became dramatically apparent to me that if I was going to make Shakespeare, for example, Romeo and Juliet, sing to the kids like it resonates with me, I would have to bring it into a context that they were engaged by and excited by. So I think those of us who've been educators have known for a long time that this is critically important. CenterPoint has been focused on it since our launch in 2017. So really,
thank
our
you.
Work has been focused primarily since our inception around these ideas of cultural responsiveness, equity, fairness,
yep.
and of course,
you sure are.
Melded
you sure
with
are.
Academic rigor.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, yeah. Actually, you just brought up something, and I would just say something. What you just said about Romeo and Juliet, all right, Leonard Bernstein figured this out about 50 years ago with West Side Story. He updated
exactly.
Romeo and Juliet, okay, to become West Side Story, which itself became outdated and culturally irrelevant, okay, as the world changed. And the newer version, which is now unfortunately has been taken off Broadway, okay, was more oriented to today's world with the same story, all right? And that's – had it lasted without the pandemic, it would have been – you know, much, much updated. And I think that's a good example of what we're talking about. What you said a minute ago about your company, you folks have been aware of this since its inception in 2017, CenterPoint. Okay, and this whole idea
absolutely.
Of, yeah, you really have been, and you've been focused on this, all right? But it's hard to do, and it's hard to do because most teachers have not been trained in this. All right, and I can only speak, and I'm much older than both of you put together times two, all right. But when I was teaching history and social studies, this didn't even come up. Okay, it was never mentioned, and we had a small percentage of African American kids where I taught. Okay, and they asked me if I could somehow teach an African American history course, and I said I really can't because I know nothing I don't even know where to begin. The kids were fine with that because they liked me and I liked them. But it's so outside of our bailiwick 50 years ago. It's unbelievable. Okay, it's just unbelievable. And talk about this, Cheryl. I want to talk about this in terms of you folks making it easier for teachers to do this when they most of them have not been taught, especially, if I may, history is the easy subject to do it in. English is an easier subject. You get the science and math. Talk to me. Help me. Please, Dr. Harmon, help me.
Well, I mean, you know, culturally responsive, it's not an either-or. It's part of the learning that happens in terms of being culturally responsive. So it's not so much, I think, what teachers need to think about or what we all need to think about is that we don't come in with a certain level of expertise about all content and all concepts, that we are learning with our students and making them kind of taking yourself from being the sage on the stage and shifting that focus to where it's a community environment, where you're learning together, you're experiencing those same, you're being introduced to some of those different cultures just like your students. And if you come in with that authenticity of wanting to learn, to wanting to be respectful, wanting to know about these experiences, wanting to share your life lessons as well as have them share their own, and all of them are mutually respected and being part of the, and seeing it as part of the learning process, that's what is, I think, is most successful. So it's not about knowing all the answers. It's not about knowing all about African-American history. It's being open to the discussion, seeking out those texts that bring in those different experiences so students can get those connections and share those ideas, and you as a teacher as well as your students are both learning together. And to me, that's the key to making that culturally responsive look like, you know, what it looks like really in a classroom. It's a community. It's ongoing work. And again, it's not just learning about the standards or about culture. It's a shared learning experience about all of that.
And how do you do that with the Centerpoint materials? Cheryl, stay with me. Talk about specifically the Centerpoint. Yeah.
Say that last question. Part of your question again. I'm sorry.
Could you hear me? I'm sorry. Could you hear
me? Yeah, I can. Tell me the last part of your question. How do we do that with what?
How do you lead teachers? And they, in turn, lead their students using the Centerpoint materials, using the Centerpoint assessments and curriculum ideas. How do you create that and make that cultural responsiveness happen? That's what I'm curious about. I know you guys know how to do it, and I know you guys know how to do it right. So what's the trick?
Sure. I mean, and it's not a trick. It's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of, you know, like I said, research and a lot of planning that goes into the development of the curriculum. So for us, again, you know, we started with that research, but also a huge part of our work was, in terms of our curriculum development, was in the selection of text. So identifying those parameters to make sure that we were including texts that were current, that were reflective of students, while not dismissing kind of that current canon. So what we see it as we were doing was expanding that canon to ensure that multiple experiences were represented around gender, around race, around socioeconomic status. All of those things are part of that learning. And then building the lessons, and what we built are, you know, we had 8 units in terms of the curriculum we built that were around, you know, various topics in English language arts. And what we included was some very specific instructional guides for teachers around building that community in the classroom, establishing those rituals and routines for creating that environment where students felt they were in a safe place to share their connections, to demonstrate their learning, and giving them multiple opportunities and ways to demonstrate and discuss their learning. So it's about the movement. So it's not just about, you know, the how you teach it and going in with it. It's being prepared to know the information that you're sharing with students, but also being willing to kind of take that step aside and let students lead the way sometimes in terms of their learning.
And what grades are we talking about, Cheryl?
For this particular curriculum we developed was K-5 English Language Arts, but this is something that definitely is our rules and thoughts that can be applied across the K-12 spectrum.
It has to be. I mean, it's just so important. All right, it really is. I want to go over to Laura for a second. Laura, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
You said the magic word, the future, Dr. Slover. You said the magic word, okay, to me, rigor. Okay, rigor, R-I-G-O-R, rigor. Okay, to me, this is one of the most important things. I am sick and tired of people, of teachers, and this is not an indictment. They don't talk down to kids. They will respond the more rigorous you ask them to be. What's your thoughts on that, Laura?
Well, I agree. The rigor versus culturally responsive is totally a false dichotomy. It's a false dichotomy. We know that it's not a question of either or, but it's a matter of doing both in an integrated fashion. So in some ways, what you'll see in a classroom really doesn't look different. Teachers are still going to teach content and skills through a culturally relevant, culturally responsive curriculum. They're going to teach the skills that all students need to acquire to be ready for the next grade or looking down the road to graduate and prepared for college, for great jobs, for life. So just as an example, we talk a lot about critical thinking. That's not going away. Students need to think critically. They will still need to write and speak effectively so they can be on your next podcast. They need to compare and contrast ideas, solve math problems, build science literacy. Science literacy is increasingly important in our world today. And all of our students are going to be our future leaders. So as problem solvers, they need a rich curriculum to support that learning. So teachers are still going to need to focus on those things. But as Cheryl said, they'll be teaching those things through texts and discussion and writing that provide both mirrors, which make students feel like they have a place in their learning, and windows, which ensure that all students have this view into the experiences and cultures of others.
Love it.
And when I say text, and when Cheryl talked about text, you know, we're talking about textbooks for sure, but also novels, essays, blogs, videos, podcasts like this, articles, scientific research journals. I could go on. So we're using text to really, as a stand-in word for all of the things that students explore and ingest in terms of their learning. And, you know, if I can go on, you know, it's not just about what students read, but it's about how they're engaged. So we think of culturally responsive curriculum as engaging all students and allowing students to bring themselves into the classroom. And that can happen in multiple ways across multiple content areas. I've listened to your podcast before, and you've talked about the importance of integration across subject matters, and we totally agree with that.
So important.
You can think about culturally responsive work in a literature classroom, but also in a math class.
That's
right. A social studies lesson about the historical impact of a time period. And then, you know, in a really responsive classroom, students can choose in some places how to demonstrate their understanding. Could it be written? Could it be a project, a slideshow, a podcast, another creative means? So thinking about responsiveness means what are students learning, how are they being engaged, and how are you measuring and allowing students to show that knowledge. And a lot of what you'll see is students working collaboratively, having choices in how they demonstrate their understanding. But those are things you might see in another classroom as well. So, again, back to where I started, culturally responsive curriculum or classroom in action may not look different. Content is being taught, skills are developed, support is provided, there are assessments, et cetera. But it will feel different and true in terms of both the teachers, and Cheryl talked about the learning curve and the exploration that teachers are doing, as well as students. And together they're going to work in community. I think it's really important that they're making connections between what they're reading and learning about past events and connecting those to current events, reflecting on historical figures and comparing those to those in their own communities or into the world today, and considering how all of us are part of this great thing called the American society. I was reminded in listening to one of your previous podcasts about this idea that all students really at their core fundamentally care about fairness. And part of fairness comes from understanding other people's ideas and experiences and not assuming that you are the only perspective or person who matters. And I would just close by saying students of all backgrounds deserve to see characters, historical figures, et cetera, who look like them in positions of brilliance. And I think that is at the core of a culturally responsive curriculum.
And for too long, we didn't do that. Like I said, I'm as guilty as anyone back in the old days. And it was just, wow. You look back on it. I look back on it. And it's just astounding to me, okay, that's the way it was. Thank God things are changing, all right? And I love, Laura, what you said. There was, you know, a lot of education, a lot of teaching is anecdotal and emotional. We can sometimes judge kids, well, he didn't do that well on that test, but I know he's a good kid, that type of thing, okay? We know that. That's part of being an educator. When you said a few minutes ago how if you're doing it right, culturally responsive education, it feels different. It may not look different, but I love when you said it feels different because it's all about feelings, okay? And if we can assess that, what you guys do, okay, that makes all the difference in the world, okay? And we'll see how much better these kids will do it again if we invite them to a rigorous curriculum because they will rise. They want to be challenged. They're kids.
That's
right. Want to be challenged. You know, it's that simple, okay? So I really love the way you put all that, Laura. You really did. And you can get your doctorate now. Just apply today, this afternoon, okay? It's a 140-word character Twitter thesis. It's very interesting, and we give those doctorates out at the University of Larry, okay? But real Dr. Harmon, okay? Cheryl, you guys worked, and I have the link up on site here. You guys have worked with Chicago Public Schools, which have been having their problems of late, okay? And they've got a tough situation down on the south side with, you know, violence in the area. It's tough in Chicago right now. But you guys had an equity project going with Chicago Public Schools. Talk about that and how CenterPoint worked with it. Cheryl, can you do that?
Sure, it was an amazing opportunity, and I really applaud Chicago Public Schools for taking on this challenge. They
yep.
knew that they, you know, wanted to address some of the issues they were seeing in their education system, and that they want, you know, teachers were creating their own resources. They were doing, you know, there wasn't that kind of. It was really based on where you live in terms of the quality of education you get, and so they
yep.
wanted to make sure there was equity across, making sure that all students received high quality resources across their learning. And again, you know, Chicago had us dig deep in terms of our learning curve of understanding that, you know, this is how we kind of cut our teeth on this curriculum, you know, culturally responsive curriculum. And
yep.
so the work is spanning, again, it's pre-K to fifth grade, and each course, you know, each grade level has 8 units that span different topics. So they are, it's an English language arts curriculum, but there's topics around health, science, social justice, and all types of things. So there's these pieces here. There's art, community building, all these different pieces.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of work that's in there that is Chicago specific. So, you know, history with Chicago, instilling that Chicago pride, the food of Chicago, the famous chefs that come from Chicago, all of that is part of this curriculum. And the work is very high quality, very much so aligned to standards across both the curriculum itself and the assessments that are used, both the formative and summative assessments that are part of the course development. And for us, it's that build. What we had to work to do was, again, identify the text that can align to this learning, that can foster these great conversations and provide these opportunities, and also, you know, develop this arc of learning. So how do you go from, you know, bringing this information to students, to go from an inward for them to be consumers of it, to them being, you know, being able to express it outwardly in terms of what they learned. And that for us was the challenge. That was the genuine work of the culturally responsive, rigorous, standards-aligned curriculum that we created with Chicago Public Schools.
And talk about results that you saw, both for real and anecdotal. I love both. I love both kinds.
Sure. So, I mean, for us, this is just starting. So, you know, I can't wait to see, you know, what the students do with this. But for us, it was that learning as we got better at creating these units and thinking this through in terms of what these arcs were, what how best to prepare teachers to teach this content.
Yeah.
For us, it was a continuous learning of understanding that, you know, again, we were expanding the learning opportunities for students. So we weren't changing anything, to Laura's point earlier, that's done so much in the classroom, but expanding the conversation so that, again, students can see themselves reflected in their work as well as look through the windows into other cultures and opportunities. And you know, from this, what we expect to happen. So this is, you know, Cheryl down the future is what I see from this and what I expect to happen from this work is that when students are taught this way, as they make decisions, they make their way through elementary, middle, and high school and make decisions around their, you know, college readiness and career readiness, they're going to bring this learning with them. They're going to have diversity. They're going to have culturally responsive as an expectation of success. That they know they're not successful unless they have these parts and they have other voices in any kind of decisions that are made that involve people. So I'm so excited with this work,
yeah.
And, you know, the groundwork that it lays for our future leaders.
Yeah, and two things you said I want to jump on. First of all, it changes expectations.
Absolutely.
Okay, it changes expectations. And when it's, if I may, drilled in and ingrained in those first 5 years or 6 years, pre-K
right.
through five, you're going to see a different result. The kids' expectations, excuse me, will change. And that's going to force the teachers to make a difference. And you mentioned that this expands the learning points. But I'm going to tell you something. Even though we don't have real results in, we do have results. I guarantee you when the teachers are looking at this, and maybe you want to comment on this, if this is expanding the teaching points too, all right, it's showing the teachers a new and exciting and engaging way to do this. All right, it's
Absolutely.
Giving them a map, if I may, a path. All right, and that changes. That changes the feelings. That changes the engagement, not only of the kids but also of the teachers.
Absolutely.
Okay, wow, yeah, this is really cool,
Absolutely.
And they see the kids react, and they get it. They're professionals. They get it. You know,
right?
It's
that
really good stuff.
An educator. Absolutely. Like that excitement, that enthusiasm of students when they are engaged and want to learn. I know that fuels me as an educator in the classroom,
yeah.
And it's you know, kind of why we went into the field. It's the joy of seeing the learning in others. So I'm so excited by this. We worked really hard on this, and I know that CenterPoint, we're going to see great things come out of this.
You sure are. Be excited and also be proud. You guys created something that's really going to work and work great. It's that simple. We gotta go, ladies. You two are wonderful. The two doctors now, Dr. Cheryl Harmon. Where'd you get your doctorate from, Cheryl?
It's from Jones International University.
Okay, and then Laura, you can proudly say yours is from the University of Larry.
My doctorate is from the University of Larry.
There you go. We'll send you a T-shirt. You know what? You know the name of the football team. By coincidence, the name of the football team is also the Larrys. Okay, so we'll send you a T-shirt. Yeah, really. No.
Thank you.
You guys,
appreciate
you're wonderful.
It.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you so
My
much, Larry.
My pleasure. Okay, you folks are
Thanks,
wonderful
Larry.
To have on here. We'll do more, and you just keep doing what you're doing. It's working great. Thank you both.
Appreciate it.
Really appreciate
oh,
it. Thank you.
I appreciate
Bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye. Wow. CenterPoint Education Solutions, my friends, Laura Slover, the CEO, and their VP of Assessment, Curriculum, and Instruction, Dr. Cheryl Harmon. All right? They're great. It's cpeducation.org. Check out what they do, and they do a lot. All right? We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org. Go over there, see what we do, read our magazine, Equity and Access on site. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Great show, ladies. Thanks, everybody, for listening.